let's move on. We're going to get the UK report now from Gavin Gray. Morning, Gavin.
Good morning, Sarah Jane. How are things?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Not too bad at all. Let's start. OK, yeah, here's where we're going to start. Campaigners against the government's policy to send migrants to Rwanda say they're now going to take their fight to the Court of Appeal tomorrow. Give us a bit of background.
Yeah, so it's a plan that the government has come across, which is really, really controversial. So there are record numbers of people coming across the English Channel illegally, often from, the Middle East or from North Africa. And the numbers are getting more and more and more. So already so far this year, we've seen more than 10,000, and that's way more than the previous year, in which almost 30,000 people came. So basically, the government is saying the rate is increasing. Opponents are saying, look, you need to make legal access to the UK easier. The government is saying if we do that, the floodgates will open, and it won't be tens of thousands, but hundreds of thousands that come across. And also, at the moment, the current system is putting many people's lives at risk as they cross the busiest shipping channel, the English Channel, in the world. So the government is saying, right, I know, people that arrive here in the UK illegally, particularly young men, will be removed to Rwanda, in Africa, of course, and they will be removed there for processing. So in other words, they will actually have their cases heard in a foreign country. Now, some are saying, no, you can't do that. Rwanda hasn't got the best human rights record. What's there for them? Where are you going to put them? Well, the government has actually given Rwanda a lot of money to build some facilities there and centres, which the cameras, news cameras, have been into. Actually, I have to say they look okay. But many people are believing that this won't be the silver bullet that the government hopes, because the government hopes that by doing this, it'll put people off from coming to the UK in the first place, using the illegal people smugglers and not risking their own lives, and therefore forced to try to get to the UK through legal channels. And, suffice to say, it went to an initial court hearing where protesters argued that this was not humane and it wasn't safe. The judges ruled, no, it is safe. The facilities there are going to be fine. But now it's going to go to the Court of Appeal on Monday.
I gather that Prince Charles had weighed into this, and apparently, privately, not publicly, he said that it was appalling. The policy is appalling.
Yes.
Sure.
That is the quote that has been attributed to him in a private comment he made to somebody else, but has since been leaked. Now, Clarence House has quickly said he remains politically neutral and won't comment on, quote, supposed anonymous private conversations. But this all adds as well to another angle to this story. A couple of days before, 31 people are due to be the first people to be sent to Rwanda. And that is the future intervention and comments of the king or next monarch. So, of course, we don't know what the Queen thinks about anything.
Nothing.
We don't know what she thinks about Brexit. We don't know what she thinks about this, because she never makes it public.
Yeah.
But if Prince Charles is going to start doing this, he needs to be extremely careful how he treads.
I remember when I was studying law at the University of Greenwich, and one of our subjects was it was constant admin, which stands for constitutional law and administration. And one of the first things we learned about was the conventions of the crown, and one of them being, you don't know what her Majesty's got no opinion on anything publicly, although sometimes you look at her face, you know exactly what she's thinking. a fly tipper who dumped, this is extremely extraordinary, 51 tons of tyres on waste ground in Glasgow in Scotland, has been thrown behind bars for 11 months.
Yes, it's very rare for somebody accused of fly tipping to be sentenced to prison. Many are arguing that such was the scale of his crime, he should have got a lot longer than 11 months. The 30-year-old basically collected tyres from garages for a fee, either 20 or 40 South African rand per tyre, something like that. We are talking, he collected thousands, tens of thousands of tyres. He was supposed to get rid of them legally. He didn't. And it's been alleged many of the garages that he picked up from knew that was the case. He then dumped the tyres in off streets, side streets, on a farm. And we are talking, 51 tonnes of tyres. Now, he was only caught when a wildlife camera at the farm he'd been dumping at had been set up and captured him on camera. And later on, he was eventually caught when the farm's owner spotted him and a boy trying to free a van stuck in mud in one of his fields, a hire van that he'd used to dump some of the tires. Now, believe it or not, such was the scale of his dumping that there was a fire. He had nothing to do with this fire, but there was a fire where he dumped some of the tires, and it was so large that it actually disrupted flights in and out of Glasgow Airport. So, I mean, there's a bit of humour to this story, but there's also a very, very serious environmental measure that comes out of this. Prosecutors have said that the total cost of clearing up after him was about £130,000. So when you scale that up, you are talking, you know, 2.5 million South African rand.
Sure.
Just to dispose of the tyres that he'd left around. And some are saying these sentences for fly tippers need to be much, much tougher, because if he's only going to be sentenced to 11 months, he'll probably be out in six, and who knows what he'll try and do again.
Yeah, I don't know. I think 11 months behind, or even 6 months behind bars might make me rethink whether I was going to fly tip again, but you never know. Listen, we are battling, it seems, with increases to our petrol. It just seems to be every other week. I was horrified when I filled my car the other day, absolutely horrified. It's gone up about 400 rand in the last 3 years to fill up my car. It's extraordinary. But in the UK, the increases have led to an increase in fuel thefts from petrol stations.
Yes, so just to give you an idea, it now costs roughly 2,000 South African rand to fill up a medium-sized car.
Oh, God.
And basically, there's been a massive spike, an increase of more than a third in non-payments since January. So what do I mean by non-payments? Well, motorists filling up and then driving off without going into the shop to pay, or motorists filling up and then going into the shop and saying, oh, I've forgotten my wallet, I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Hey.
And of course, in some instances, that is a genuine omission. In others, it's a deliberate attempt to get off. The, of course, surprising thing about all this is virtually all petrol stations here are covered by CCTV, closed-circuit television. So they're picking up the license number plates, therefore the owner of the car. Although, of course, sometimes, I guess, if you're in a real crook, then these are going to be false number plates. But price rises have been extraordinary. And between January and February, if you look at the rises in how much is being stolen, it's now quite amazing the number of times people are going in with, as I said, almost now a spike of payments gone up almost 40%. So the government is looking at different ways of doing this. People are saying, look, it's desperation, absolute desperation. There are going to be some lowly paid people who actually can't afford to get into work. It's not worth them doing that because they're spending so much in petrol. I'm not sure where it ends, but one thing that will make it better is when the war in Ukraine ends one way or another.
Yeah, for sure. Gavin, I'm going to comment on that story in a second. I just want to say, if anyone just heard a loud crash that just happened in studio, it's because we've got a radio clock, as all radio stations have, and it just fell out of the wall, narrowly missing my technical producer Obi's head by about a centimetre, health and safety in the workplace. You're all right, are you, Obi? Yes. That was terrifying. Just to see that flying, so that's what that crash was. So there we go. Gavin, sorry, and back to your story about the petrol. And it's the second story. We had Katie McDonald on from Sydney today, giving us sort of news from Australia, saying that inflation has increased so much in Australia that it now costs the equivalent of 150 rand, or what, about £7.50, for a head of lettuce.
Ah, yes. Now, in Australia, of course, they've had floods. So all the fields that
exactly.
were growing the lettuce have flooded.
Sorry,
yeah,
not inflation. Yeah, exactly. Absolute madness. Absolute madness.
Scary.
All right. Now, this is an interesting one. The age at which people are allowed to buy tobacco products in England looks to be increasing and should gradually be increased year after year. That's what a review for the government is expected to recommend. What is the age currently? What is the legal age to buy tobacco products now in the UK, Gavin?
18.
Is it 18, really?
And the government wants to go 1 year up per year, eventually eradicating smoking, they hope, by 2030. Many people still smoke in this country. Now, the rates have fallen since the 1970s, but there are still 6 million smokers in England alone, 7 million across the UK. And the government says, look, we need to convince these remaining smokers to quit. They've put the price up and up and up, but now they are getting serious with other measures. Now, something similar, Sarah Jane, has been introduced in New Zealand, where buying tobacco products will remain banned for anyone born after 2008.
Amazing.
And of course, as more and more and more people are born after 2008, and the rest of us are dying off, eventually it will be illegal. And that is potentially a way in which the UK is looking to go as well. The number of deaths incidentally caused by smoking is falling here in the UK, but it remains the leading cause of preventable illness and premature death, and it's estimated to cause a quarter of all cancer deaths. So they are very serious in this country about looking at ways of changing things and looking at trying to make the population healthier. But having said that, the government looks like it's backing out of introducing a sugar tax on fizzy drinks and sweets, which it had been doing for the same sort of reason, to try and make the nation healthier.
And that's always the argument, isn't it, that smokers come up with, which is, well, why don't you tax other stuff? And I'm sure that the smoking rights groups are absolutely furious by this and saying that their rights are being curtailed. Listen, I was a smoker for a really, 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 really long time, and I used to smoke an awful lot, and I enjoyed it. And then I wanted to have a baby, and so I stopped smoking. So I'm never one of these sort of self-righteous, now I'm a non-smoker. I'm so glad I don't smoke anymore for health reasons and financial reasons. If I lived in the UK, I simply would not be able to afford a packet of cigarettes. They've got to be about 10 quid now, haven't they?
I think it's a little under, but not being a purchaser, and now it's actually that they're hidden from view as another piece of legislation.
Yeah.
So you're not tempted as you go and buy a newspaper to buy a packet of cigarettes because they're hidden from view. But yeah, I think it is. I think they are about at 2000.
My mum will be, if my mum's listening in, sorry mum, but you are a smoker, she'll be able to tell us how much they are. I mean, it just, that is 2000 rand approximately. Well, if you go to, let's say you're going to go to a news agent on Victoria Station, that you're definitely looking at about 10 quid. You've got to be. Extraordinary amount of money.
200 South African rand.
200 South African rand, exactly. Gavin, we're going to have to move on to strawberries. It just ain't tennis. It just ain't strawberries. What?
Well, I think this is an amazing story here because, of course, as farms in this country are looking with global warming to grow more tomatoes, more strawberries, perhaps a bit less wheat and other things that require cooler temperatures. So, of course, the big question is, in order to extend the season for strawberries and raspberries, you've got to grow them under glass or plastic. And then the big question is, okay, but how do you keep them heated for the cooler nights? And
the
answer has, in the past, been looking at the solar powers. But, of course, the problem with solar panels is they take up on land a lot of space, something we don't have much of here in the little old UK. But this is a great idea because somebody has invented transparent solar panels that you can attach to the sides of glass houses.
In other words,
vertically, and the roof. And they actually, therefore, by being semi-transparent, allow the sun in for the crops underneath, but they also store the power. And it's going to be estimated, it received a government funding of about 3 million South African rand to get this far, but they reckon they will produce enough not just to run the farm's lighting, but also the farmers' cottages, the automatic watering system, and the temperature-controlled equipment. In other words, the windows that rise up automatically to cool off and things. So this is really, really exciting. And it could also mean, of course, that being lighter and semi-transparent, they could be put on all sorts of other buildings that in the past we hadn't thought of.
I love that. Absolutely fantastic. Just quickly tell us what's going on with Her Maj.
Rumours and reports suggesting that she is not intending to be able to attend the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. They take place next month. Her Majesty apparently is already saying, I just don't think I'm going to be able to get to Birmingham to do this. The stadium is expected to be watched by some billion people worldwide, but Her Majesty might not be there in person. Instead, it's thought she's lining up Prince Charles to do the very sort of formal beginning and end, but senior royals to visit during the games itself. But I think an idea that her absence from these big events is growing increasingly likely.
It is. She is 96. Let her stay at home with her feet up. Let Charles get on and do a bit more work. thanks very much indeed, His Royal Highness Gavin Graham. We'll be back with us next week. Thanks, Gavin.